We now take you to somewhere along the Boulevard René Lévesque.
Oh man, are you kidding me? Someone just rear-ended me.
Boje moi, are you okay? Are you hurt? I'm so sorry.
Well, you should be. Wait a second. You're Alex Galchenyuk, aren't you? Not only are you blind, but you don't even know how to drive. You haven't even scored a single goal yet this year.
I don't know what to say. I am so sorry. Let me help you any way I can with...
What the hell? Somebody just smashed into my car again. What the heck is going on here?
Sacrebleu, mon dieu, tabernacle. Hey, is everyone okay? Why is this smashed car in the middle of the highway?
Wait. You're Jonathan Drouin, aren't you? Oh man, I'm so sorry my car hit yours. Even though it was completely stationary, and I was standing outside of it, arguing with your slumping teammate. It was obvious you were trying to avoid me, and you know what, Jonathan? This is all on me. Don't you worry, and don't you worry you haven't even scored a single goal yet this season. The whole city, the coaching staff, management, still love you. I still love you.
What's going on here?
Don't worry, officer. We've got it all under control. This was completely Mr. Galchenyuk's fault, and Mr. Drouin had nothing to do with this. He's also my favorite player. And he's francophone.
Well, I think that'll officially go down as our most multicultural sketch, don't you think?
Yes, it should satisfy all the CRTC requirements.
Speaking of the CRTC, this is a huge, huge night for Bell and Rogers.
Yeah, I guess it is. I've been saying it's possibly the biggest fifth game of the season in a very long time for the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, not actually, more for the Montreal Canadiens. It's not really super huge for the Maple Leafs. It'll be a statement game if they achieve something. Well, but I think this is a huge game for the Montreal Canadiens. It's a must-win game for the Montreal Canadiens.
You're all about the comeuppance. And if your sense of karma, your vision of the world goes true to form, the Maple Leafs deserve to win this game. I mean, the Habs have just dominated them for the last, 14 games? I think Babcock was caught off guard in the presser last night because he was basically saying, we haven't won and we haven't gotten a point in 10 games. How's that possible?
Did he sounded off guard? Caught off guard, eh?
Yeah, well, he always sounds caught off guard. But since he's the untouchable one, we know that he's going to have the troops ready. And man, oh man, if the Leafs end up turning this into a blowout, I don't know where the cameras will turn to. Everyone will be looking down. They'll look up to Bergevin up in the press box, and he'll be missing because he'll be trying to get out of town. What happens if the Habs lose this in a blowout?
I was going to say, when you said where would the cameras turn to, the cameras would turn to Mark Bergevin. This is Mark Bergevin's team. This is constructed in his vision. I mean, yes, there's some leftover players from the previous regime, which ironically enough are the best players, Carey Price, Max Pacioretty, etc. But the cameras would turn to Mark Bergevin. This is his baby. This is his team. It's his defense core that he's built. It's all on Mark. As he said, it's on me. In his Michel Therrien press conference, it's on me.
Think of how many former Leafs are in the lineup. I think the number was eight or nine, that have been through the last 4 or 5 years of getting repeatedly humiliated by Carey Price. I mean, if you're looking at it from the Leafs' perspective and you're someone like a JVR or a Kadri or a Bozak or a Riley, are you chomping at the bit basically saying, man, we could really drive a nail in their coffin after 5 games of this hockey season? They're probably not saying that at all, but that's something as we fans we need to consider.
Well, I think Kadri said it best where he said these previous 14 games didn't matter. And I agree that they don't, but I know in the back of their head, as a professional athlete, they want some measure of revenge and some measure of saying that, hey, we're not that same team from the 14 previous games, we're now the Toronto Maple Leafs. Essentially, the Toronto Maple Leafs are the darling team of the NHL. They've been said by a lot of you know, external outside of Toronto hockey viewers as their funnest team to watch in the NHL.
Funnest? Just hearing you phrase it that way is kind of sickening to me after all these years of abuse.
It was deserved. Your abuse was deserved.
Deserved or not, this is an extraordinary time when both teams have so much hanging in the balance. And it is important for the Leafs because that Jersey Devils game was an embarrassment. Embarrassment in how their special teams disappeared. And speaking of special teams, how quickly do you need to score a power play goal tonight? I mean, really, if you start going like 0-5 on special teams, your crowd is just liable to start throwing rotten cabbage and tomatoes at you. It'll be like some kind of medieval festival. I can't wait.
Yes.
Medieval festival at the Bell Center.
Yeah, actually, that's one of their promotions that they're running. medieval game night.
It's really popular. Your fans are up in arms. I've been listening to some of the chatter. It's not pretty what's going on in La Belle Provence.
Well, the 0-14 power play start to the season, stunning in the fact that Jonathan Drouin was brought here and heralded as a power play specialist. And obviously, they haven't scored a power play goal yet. They've got Shea Weber, who last year was, you know, pretty good on the power play, and the press conference, if you remember, for when P.K. Subban was traded for Shea Weber, Mark Bergevin proudly said, "This is a player who scored 14 power play goals." So, again, Shea Weber,
these
power
play... These are some bad memories. Yeah. Bad memories.
Shea Weber, power play specialist. But nothing yet. So it's huge that they do get a power play goal tonight. It's huge that the Leafs need to take penalties because a lot of people are saying Montreal can't beat the Leafs 5-on-5, so Montreal does need... Not only do they need to score power play goals, but they need power plays in the first place.
I think if the Leafs don't find a way to score quickly, this will turn into a classic Montreal 2-1, 3-2 decision. I think they need to jump on Price and your team as quickly as possible and keep them on their heels. Because if the crowd gets behind them, and the Montreal fan, you know, they're savvy. They understand the flow and tempo of the game. And they'll know, I think, within the first 5 minutes, the way you usually do, whether or not this Habs team is actually going to compete tonight. I think the most important part of the game are literally the first 5 minutes of the fifth game of the NHL season. Think about how ridiculous we sound. This is an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed right now. Are you embarrassed? I would be.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm anxious. I'm really excited about this game. But as you said, the first 5 minutes of the fifth game of the season are very important. And I'm going to be watching closely because if Montreal comes out flat in a game like this where they're 1-3, there's going to be two people that I look at to blame if they come out flat. First one's going to be Claude Julien. Claude's pretty much been untouchable so far. He's coached them through 34 games, and it's very early in his 5-year contract, so there's not a lot of criticism being thrown his way. But if he can't get his team amped up for this game, that's one guy I'm going to be looking at. And the other is Max Pacioretty. Max Pacioretty has got to play with passion, and he's not known as a guy to lead by on-ice example or a rah-rah guy, but I'm sorry, he's got to do that. In this game, I need to see Max bring something in the first 5 minutes. I need to see Claude's boys come out big in the first 5 minutes.
There's something profoundly sad for me to hear you talk about needing someone who can lead by example, who plays with passion and energy on the ice, knowing full well you already had him. I'm not going to go there. You know where I'm going there. I don't need to mention his name.
Are you talking about Steve Ott?
It rhymes.
Steve Ott? No.
He was a right-handed puck-carrying defenseman. And we're talking about special teams, so transition will be key. I find it somewhat disturbing to think that you mentioned Claude Julien having a 5-year contract, which is almost as long as Mike Babcock's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know that Mike Babcock will be free-rolling for the next 2 to 3 years, regardless of what happens to the Maple Leafs. Meanwhile, poor Claude is like... It's clear that the pressure and the double standard is evident. Does that bother you? Because it's a pretty bad double standard. I mean...
No.
It just doesn't make sense to me how after 5 games he could get this kind of scrutiny. There are people on social media calling for his head. Give me a break. The coach has been here for literally a cup of coffee.
That is too early to call for his head. I agree. But yes... Babcock will be free-rolling for the next couple of years, whereas I don't even think Claude Julien has a couple of months to free-roll. He needs to turn the ship around now. Montreal is in win-now mode, despite them denying that there is a window. This is a win-now generation for this team. Carey Price is 30 years old. Max Pacioretty is in his late 20s. Shea Weber, over 30. The key pieces to their team are in their prime of their careers, and the window is now. So Claude Julien needs to turn the ship around now, and despite him, he's now had 24 games from last year. He's had a whole preseason. He's essentially got a fully healthy squad, and essentially actually might be 100% healthy with the potential return of David Schlemko. So Julien's got to get, he's got to get this ship turned around. I keep saying it. It's on Claude. It's on the superstars. It's on the veterans.
Plekanec is a game time decision. They're not sure if they're going to have Schlemko. Suddenly, it's a real issue of depth, which is, of course, the Maple Leafs' strength. I mean, they're going to be throwing three really quality scoring lines against the Habs, and I think this might even come down to a battle of grinders, if you think about it. You and I, of course, will be watching the Agitators. We've been talking about this on shows, and our listeners know what we're referring to, the Kadri-Gallagher battle. I think that's going to make for some amazing television tonight, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think Kadri's got in the back of his mind that he remembers that Gallagher kind of hit him from the side slash from behind in the preseason, so maybe something will transpire with that. And of course, you got your buddy Uncle Leo, who's running around with his "who me" face. Like, he hits people from behind, and he's like, open his eyes. He's like, "What? Who me? I'm Leo Komarov."
He really is he's a blessing for Leaf, for fans of the team, because he's someone that I know is going to bring it every single shift. And I'll be curious to see whether he has the discipline to not do something dumb, like, I don't know, wear his visor incorrectly.
But the matchup that I do want to see is how Shea Weber will be able to, if he can contain Austin Matthews. That's going to be a really interesting matchup to watch.
Yeah, that'll be the marquee highlight. We ran a poll asking who would be the single-handedly the most impact player on the ice, and Matthews got over half the votes. Almost double Carey Price, which is really amazing, because I think any other year, if you go back last half decade, it'd be a no-brainer. Carey Price will determine the fate of this game. For the first time, I think you'll agree, in the matchups of our two teams, it's no longer being looked upon as Carey Price playing great. The whole team needs to play if they expect to beat the Leafs, especially with their speed game.
Yep, I agree. It needs to be, I need to see 1 point minimum each from Pacioretty, Drouin, and even Galchenyuk, if Galchenyuk plays.
Tall order. That's some bold numbers you're asking.
Yeah, that means goals. That means they need to score more than one goal per game.
Well, for a team that has less than half of what Alex Ovechkin scored so far, it's going to be a tall order, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, Freddie Anderson's in net, so the chances for goals.
Oh, man, he has been, I'll tell you, it's been a dirty secret around these parts. If you look at his numbers, they're horrible. And the reason they're horrible is that aside from two periods against the Winnipeg Jets, I don't think he's had a single full period where I've walked away saying, great job. He's kind of just been there, and we've been too carried away with watching all the young kids score and how we've got something like 19 players with at least a point. But the goaltending has been atrocious. And if he struggles, and let's say you get four or five past him on this game, I think there'll be a lot more scrutiny going and a lot of restless hearts, blue hearts, starting to pump and wonder, uh-oh, we got ourselves a goalie controversy. Is it time for Calvin Picard?
Wow, yeah. Luckily, you have Freddie Anderson for four more years.
Oh, geez, you had to rub that in. I knew that was just going to happen. Listen, we should probably make our predictions because we're going to be ranting shortly. Well, how do you think this one's going to end? Give me your official Habs fan prediction of the final score in this game.
It's been a real battle of heart versus brain. So I'm going to have to... It's going to be tough.
Heart versus brain.
Heart versus brain. I am going to go vote with my heart. And I am going to say 5-4 Montreal Canadiens in overtime.
Wow, so basically you're expecting your team to double their goal scoring, more than double their goal scoring output against a team that can clearly allow that many goals in a single game. That's pretty good. I'm going to go with a 7-2 Maple Leafs blowout.
Jeez.
As a direct result of them getting to Carey Price early. I think that this game will end in either one of two ways. It'll be a big blowout, or we'll see a really close game, but my gut's telling me that the young kids will get into his head early, and then I think this game will be a no-brainer in favor for the Leafs.
I think this will be a buck-trending night. Montreal will buck the trend of a 0% power play, and Carey Price will buck the trend of his .899 save percentage. That combination will buck this slump.
Greatest transition ever.
Call me crazy, but I think tonight Saturday, October 14th, the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs will be Montreal's most important game of the regular season. Even though, after tonight, there'll be 77 games left, I really think this will be the turning point for the Montreal Canadiens season. The reason being, as we all know, is that right now the Montreal Canadiens are 1-3. If Montreal loses to Toronto, they'll be 1-4. But not only will they be 1-4, what's around the corner is important too. Montreal is going on the dreaded West Coast trip, Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Jose, a trip that Montreal traditionally does not do well on at all in history, recently. So let's say, if Montreal does have a bad road trip, let's say that they lose tonight to the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens could be 1-7 to start the season. Incredibly difficult to recover from to make the playoffs. On average, the last 3 years to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, it has required 95 points. In the 34 games that Montreal has had under this new Claude Julien regime, they've been playing 574 hockey, or trending as a 94-point team. To go into the hole as a 1-7 team would require Montreal to really turn it on and be able to hit that 95-point plateau. That's why I really think tonight's game, Game 5 of the regular season, is huge for the Montreal Canadiens.
So here we are, in Game 5 of the NHL regular season, bracing ourselves for what we're calling an absolute clash of the titans between a young and promising upstart Maple Leafs team and a huge, heavy, world-on-my-shoulders Montreal Canadiens team that seems to be scuffling left, right, and center at the behest of whatever their media feels the need to criticize them for. I think we need to keep some perspective. To me, it's a really simple formula. If Frederik Andersen can improve on his .871 save percentage and 4 goals allowed per game, this whole discussion is going to be absolutely moot. Because as Andersen goes, ultimately will the Toronto Maple Leafs. And regardless of how many of their young and exciting and depth-filled players end up being successful this evening, at the end of the day, if Freddie Andersen can't find a way to stop these pucks, it's all going to be an academic discussion the next morning, along with the requisite goalie controversy that usually follows. Now, I'd hate to be sitting here and mulling over whether Mick Laney or Calvin Picard are the goalies of the future, when we all know that Frederik Andersen isn't going anywhere, but it would be nice to see the kind of clutch performance early in a season where it isn't reliant on your entire team to have to come to your rescue. Yeah, that's right. Frederik Andersen may have to pull a Carey Price if the Maple Leafs have any hopes of winning this evening. So now we're going to settle down and talk hockey. And whom better with than one of our affiliates and site expert, Andrew Beamer from Editor and Leaf. Andrew, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing really well after you proposed that trip to White Castle Burger, so I'm having a great day now.
You know, I hope that we can do that after the Leafs win on Saturday night. That would be one way to celebrate what is a fairly highly anticipated game, to say the least. Although, let me ask you this to start off. Are you disturbed that we're talking about game number 5 in this magnitude, in this light?
Not at all, because if you look at the Leafs last season, nobody expected them to have the start they did. Nobody expected them to finish how they did. And now we fast forward to this year, and expectations are different. They increase. There's more momentum going into this. So game five is still a ladder game for me. It's an important game. Every game is an important game. But anytime the Montreal Canadiens play the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's an important game.
Well, and being an expert on the Maple Leafs the way you are, I'd be remiss, Andrew, if we didn't take a quick trip down memory lane to look at these first 4 games and ask ourselves, what is this Maple Leafs team really all about? Because I think you'll agree that while the first game was a nice effort against the Winnipeg Jets, I think you'll agree that we started to see a little bit of warts from the New York Rangers and Chicago Blackhawks affairs, specifically when it came to defensive coverage. And then, of course, the New Jersey Devils really demonstrated to this fan base why expectations need to be tempered. What are your thoughts about this team's defensive play in the past week and a half?
Well, you know what? I'll say, and a lot of people don't agree with it anymore, but I think any championship team needs to be rooted on the defense. It needs to be foundationally built on the back end, and it starts with the goaltending. And Andersen's had a better start to this season than last year. There's no doubt he's made some really big momentum-shifting saves so far. He has struggled, and I think a lot of that is because of the defense. If we just look back to the most recent game on Wednesday night against the New Jersey Devils, then you look at Rosen and Borgman, who were paired together because Connor Carrick is still out with an an illness, and they looked like rookies. They are rookies, but they really looked like rookies. I mean, Borgman played a little better than Rosen. Rosen was the reason for a couple goals. He looked like he was two steps behind the entire night. One guy that's really surprised me, and I'm jumping all over the place here, is Ron Hainsey, who I did not think would be coming out and flying the way he has. And other guys, Nikita Zaitsev, and people are going, wow, that contract looks pretty good now. I mean, he's come out of the gate. He has 5 points. He's got 2 goals, 3 assists. Whether plus minus is relevant or irrelevant, I think it's the former of the two, and he's a +7. He's been on for 7 more goals. So the defense has looked shaky at times, yes, but the foundational pieces are there. And when you have guys like Jake Gardner and Nikita Zaitsev chipping in as they have, and we know that Gardner's chipped in some pretty big goals so far, or a pretty big goal and a couple good assists there, then we're rooted well. And then you look to the thing that the Leafs are doing really well, and that's scoring. I mean, 22 goals through the first three, or through the first four games, 19 for through the first three. They're scoring lots of goals. They're giving up lots of goals. I mean, they've had, you know, a couple games that are above five now, 5 and 6 respectively, from New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. They are giving up too many goals, and I'm sure anybody would go, that 7-2 Jets win, we'd love that. We'd also like special teams to be a little more kind of trimmed around the edges. Their power play has been all right. Their penalty kill has been great, but there's still room for improvement. And the biggest room for improvement in the PK side of things is take less penalties. The less penalties you take, the less you have to defend against. So there's a lot of trimming around the edges, and I just wrote an article today, and it was about, you know, there's a learning curve with a loss, like the New Jersey loss on Wednesday night. Babcock can now take his team, the team that was undefeated, that's now been defeated, and he can go, all right, now that you guys have kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit, let me just teach this, let me curve this into a learning moment, because there's a lot we can do to be the A-plus hockey team that we can be, and we haven't been. So I don't know. It's game five, but it's you know, every game provides some lesson for everybody on the ice, and even for us to watch and to speculate. I mean, there's always something to learn off there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, with apologies to James Reimer, Freddie Anderson might represent the first semblance of steady, consistent goaltending around these parts since maybe Ed Belfour in his first year when he signed as a free agent. Are you sold, having watched Freddie Anderson, the way he's performed, and taking into account that really, aside from 2 good periods against Winnipeg and maybe a period and a half against Chicago, he's been letting in a lot of goals. Are you sold on him, Andrew, that he can be the number one option, lock, stock, and barrel for this hockey club?
100%, without a doubt. And the only thing, and I wouldn't say Anderson's an elite goaltender. I'd say he's borderline elite. And what I mean by that is, when you look at a lot of the elite goalies, and I'm excluding guys like Carey Price here, but when you look at guys and you know, Braden Holtby, John Gibson, their defensive core was built around them, and it started to improve internally from the goaltending. And the Leafs are just on the cusp of doing that. They have the foundational pieces, as I mentioned, in play: Morgan Riley, Zaitsev. That you can look at the Swedes, Gardner, obviously. When they improve that, and when that, you know, area of their game becomes up to par with the rest of the team, I think Anderson will be propelled to a top 10 goalie in the league, and I think he'll, you know, make his mark on the league, and I think he'll move into a top 5 role someday, and he'll be one of the top 5 goalies in the league. I 100% think, without a doubt, that the signing of Anderson was the smartest thing that that Lou Lamoriello did last summer, because they set the pieces in play, and then you go out and you acquire somebody like Calvin Pickard, and then that just shows, you know, we don't know what Pickard's going to do. He's in the AHL right now. I'm sure we'd love to see a look from him, but that just shows how the confidence is there. Let's get him a good backup.
And, of course, hockey can be so very fickle. I remember that when Lamoriello went out and acquired Anderson, there were already naysayers lining up and saying, why do the Maple Leafs keep giving these long-term, high-priced contracts to goalies that they're not even 100% sold on? And then, of course, you can call maybe the Toskala effect, or the expectation of certain goalies coming to this market and then failing miserably after being hyped by the media machine. It seems certainly like we stand a better chance on this occasion with the rise of Anderson as being someone who, as you mentioned so succinctly, is almost elite. Now, let's take a look at this game tomorrow night and help me size it up. Help me appreciate what are your expectations for this incredible, incredible energy that we're seeing that's going to be not only inside the arena but across both cities that will be brimming with and relying on the very moment-to-moment, second-to-second piece of action that they'll find on television. What are your expectations with this battle tomorrow night?
The story for Montreal so far has been they can't score, and they really have been able to. I mean, they have a negative eight, I think, goal differential right now. They've won one game out of three. They have 2 points. Granted, we're only going into the fifth game for both clubs, but they really can't score. That's apparent. But then you look at the other teams that are on that list, and you look at Edmonton, that's below the bottom of the barrel, San Jose, Boston, Dallas. Dallas has a line of Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and Alexander Radulov. They're having trouble putting the puck in the net, finishing games as well. I'm hoping tomorrow won't be a 5-6, a 7-2. I don't want it to be a blowout game. I like the Montreal-Toronto games to be close. I like them to be nail-biters like the Chicago-Toronto game was the other night. And I think Montreal is going to surprise us a little bit more, and they're going to come into it with a little swagger because it's Toronto. You're playing Toronto. Toronto's playing Montreal, arguably two of the biggest hockey markets in the world. You can make an argument that one of them's the biggest English one and the other's the biggest French, but there's not much competition for the French there. So I think it's going to be a great game. I think there's going to be some scoring from both sides, a lot more than people expect from Montreal. And whenever the Toronto Maple Leafs play Montreal, there's one thing to keep in mind, and it's we cheer for two teams as Toronto Maple Leafs fans. The Toronto Maple Leafs and whoever's playing the Montreal Canadiens. And tomorrow night, that's Toronto. Or tonight is Toronto, sorry. That's tonight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I can't blame you for being a little bit discombobulated. These are really surreal times where it's almost like a pendulum effect, isn't it? The Maple Leafs are completely resplendent with all this fan enthusiasm and hype. Meanwhile, the Montreal Canadiens are this downtrodden group of, kicked around retreads, if you will, the usual suspects. They're lining up the deck chairs on who to kind of bring down. What are your thoughts about the way a player on the Montreal Canadiens roster has to deal with it relative to one right now on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster? It must be night and day.
Well, you know what? When you're a player, let's look at just Jonathan Drouin, because he's French background. He's playing for a large French hockey market. There is tremendous pressure on a guy like him, especially a newcomer to the team where expectations are high. I mean, you just signed a goalie for over $10 million AAV. So expectations are extremely high for a player like him, and even more so because of the talent, this elite skill that he brings to the team. Now, night and day to Toronto, Montreal, I mean, I look at Montreal, and I try not to be biased because I'm not a Montreal fan, but their expectations are pretty high, even compared to the Leafs, but when they play the Leafs, their expectations, I think, are tempered a little bit from both sides, because Toronto is considered, quite frankly, is the largest hockey market in the world. It's the hockey universe. And when Montreal is playing any other 30 team in the NHL, they are the hockey universe. But when they play the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're number two to that. And so they come into this game, they've already got a chip on their shoulder because they can't score for anything right now. And they want to beat the Leafs, obviously, because you beat the Leafs even more so now, other than just looking in the past decade when we just went, oh, the Leafs have a storied franchise. Every team wants to beat them because of their storied franchise. Now it's that plus the Leafs are an elite team. So we want to beat them. They're our rival, first of all, and then they're an elite team, and we want to say that we beat them. We want to say that we outscored them. Then everyone's going to, just basically shut up about saying we can't score because we just outscored the top five scoring team from the 2016-17 season and already in the top two for this season.
No question. It'll be fascinating, I think, to watch as these additional, five more times that these teams will meet this year to see how the narrative unfolds from different vantage points in time. Because we know there's never a dull moment, and every week will be, I'm sure, a series of stories that, speaking of, why don't you tell our listeners, Andrew, about some of the great articles that you're working on, you and all of the writers at Editor and Leaf. Of course, we had James Tanner and Mike Stevens on the show. So talk about maybe what's going on there and what fans can expect to find from one of FanSided's best hockey websites on the planet.
I'll take any plug there I can get.
we've
got a lot of exciting stuff coming out. The number one thing I'm pretty pumped about right now is Mike is actually he's starting to do a Toronto Marlies notebook, and that's going to be I'm pretty sure from our conversation, a week-to-week basis, that and he'll cover the Marlies, and he'll be our go-to guy for the Marlies. And NHL clubs start from success from their AHL affiliates. So A-plus coverage coming from that end, which is exciting. And then we've got everybody else is doing their own thing, and it's pretty good. Our contributors will write, and they'll send it in. James and me will go over it, and it's always great stuff. And James just put out a roundtable a couple days ago that obviously is a roundtable, so everybody's featured on that gets their little insert in, and that's some predictions for this year, some trophy predictions that stem away from the Leafs, because you know, as much as we'd like the Leafs to win every single individual award they can, they're not going to. And you know what? It doesn't really matter too much, because the Leafs are about a crest on your jersey, not the name on your back kind of team. And then we've just got some, game previews, some game analysis, and basically anything you want. If there's something that's going on at the Leafs, chances are we'll have it covered as soon as we can. So it's definitely an exciting place to stop by, even more so now that we're off the summer, off season, and we're back into the kick of the season. So be sure to check the site out frequently, and also be sure to get your daily dose of Habs fan versus Leafs fan.
He is the site expert of Editor and Leaf, a dear friend of the show, and a brilliant hockey writer. Andrew Beamer has joined us on HBL today, and I appreciate your time. Hope to have you on the show again soon, my friend.
Thank you, Marty. You have a good day, too.